Okay, today's daf is daf tesvav. So today's learning is sponsored by Moshe and Amy Cederbaum, the Nishmas Maras Paralea Bas Reb Shmuel Chaim HaKohen, and also Mazel Tov on the wedding, which is Sunday night, of Talia to Dovi Klein, and also to the partners Hashana, anonymously Brian Delea Bas Yehudis Ariella. Okay, so let's begin now. We got to the bottom of Yudalad Amud Beis. We're talking about whether or not Beis Shammai, when they paskin that Saras Erva is actually mutter to the Yavam, is that, do they actually go ahead and paskin? Do they actually do that way? Asu or lo asu? That was the discussion the past couple of days, and we're continuing that discussion today. So the Gemara says, last five lines of Yud Dalet Amud Beis at Tashma, Damar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Heyach halacha zu Ravechas b'Yisrael. How exactly did this halacha evolve in the practice amongst Klai Yisrael? If Nasa Kedivrei Beis Shammai, if we pass on Beis Shammai, that the Yavam is permitted to marry, to go ahead and to perform Yibam with the Tsaras Erva, that turns out Havlad Mamzel Kedivrei Beis Hillel. In the world of Beis Hillel, that becomes a Mamzel. That's a big problem, obviously. And if we're going to pass Kenasa Kedivrei Beis Hillel, that the Vlad, that the Tsaras Erva is Mutter and could go marry someone else without requiring a Chalitza like Beis Hillel, well then Havlad Pogum Ledivrei Beis Shammai. That becomes what's called a Vlad Pogum. It's a Lav, that woman really requires Chalitza according to Beis Shammai, but doesn't, but goes out and it's a Pogum. There's a certain level, even though it's not a Erva, it's still a Lav. If you look at Rashi, the last Rashi of the page here, Havlad Pogum Ledivrei Beis Shammai Di'im Haya Kohen Pasul Lakuna. If it was a Kohen, it'd be Pasul Lakuna. The Avagav the Bnei Chayvi Lavin Ksherin Lakal Chalalam Hainlin and Kuna. So even though this woman, though she's alive, she can marry Yisrael, she wouldn't be able to marry a Kohen. So there's a certain Pagam that's Chal. So no matter how you Paskin, there's going to be a problem on one level or the other. So what should you do? So this is what actually Pinyu suggested yesterday, at the end of yesterday's Daf, that maybe Bo Veniskan Lehen Letzaros, let's make the following Takana, that all Tzaros Erva Shu Choltos onto Daf Tez now, they should be chalitzas v'lo beis yamo. So you should do chalitza. So in the world of Beis Hillel, chalitza is unnecessary because Tsaras Erva is completely permitted. But just do a chalitza to be yotze the shita of Beis Shammai as well. This way you'll be fine. No yibum, just chalitza. So for Beis Shammai, you'll satisfy the need for a chalitza and she could go out and get married and there won't be any lav, there won't be any pogum at all. That's a suggestion. What? She would be chalitza, she would be pasul to Kohen in that regard. Right, right. She'd be mom. According to Kira, be a mamzer in economic. So then the Gemara says, just look at the Rashi says, shucholtos v'yinasu l'shuk behechsher l'divrei hakol. So although the other case it would be belav, this would be behechsher. In economic, she'd be puzzle with the chalitza according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel should be complete. It would be unnecessary. It wouldn't be accomplished anything. But at the end of the day, at least she could go ahead and get married according to all opinions. Behechsher. So why don't we do that? And so the Gemara says, "Lo hispiku ligmar sadavar." They didn't have a chance to make such a takana. They got a little bit something. They got busy with something. They got off track. And then Amrle. Then after Rabbi Shimon Gamliel thought about this for a moment, he said, "Wait a second. How can we allow this?" Amrle Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, "Ma nasa lehem letzaros harishona semeata." What are we going to do with the initial tzaros that had happened? Look at Rashi. Those already who performed Yibum, according to Beis Shammai, who allowed for Yibum. So, B'neim Mamzerim, now we're going to say, all those previous Yibums of according to Beis Shammai are now Mamzerim retroactively, because now we're paskening that only Chalita is allowed, not Yibum. V'heim Nigmar Halacha Kishlot Nisyabim. If we pasken that you shouldn't do Yibum, we're going to say, all those who had done Yibum, they're Mamzerim in Klai, so that would be a terrible thing. So, that's why they couldn't do this. And now the Gemara says, after explaining this Brisa, if you're going to say Bishlama Asu, if Beis Shammai actually they went ahead and acted on their psak that they married a Yibum, so Hainu Dekamer Manasu. So that's a good question. What are you going to do with all those who did act on Beis Shammai's psak that Yibum is allowed for Taras Erva? So this would make sense, this discussion. But Ella Iamis, if you're going to say Lo Asu, no, Beis Shammai Paskin that the Taras Erva is allowed, but never did anyone act upon this. So then, my manasa, what's the concern of what happened in the past? They never also, they never acted upon it. So it must be that asu. So Amr of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lo nitzucha ella l'tzara asma. We're only concerned with the tzara herself. What does that mean? Umanasa, what are we going to do? Hachi kamar. Hanuch tzaros de Beis Hillel, the Beis Shammai hechi abalu. So those tzaros of Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel. Those tzaros of Beis Hillel, according to Beis Shammai. So again, tzaros erva. For Beis Hillel, doesn't require anything. Tzaras Erva is an usher to the Yavam. She goes to get married, does whatever she wants. But now, if we're going to say we have to go back and do chalitza because we're choshesh for Beis Shammai Shita, so what happens to all the Beis Hillel families that didn't require chalitza and they got married? This Yatar ever got married. We're going to now require her to do chalitza while she's currently married to some other person. That'd be very strange to do that, to require that. Heichi Navid, lichlitzu mi lichlitzu, mimaisei agavayu. Husband's going to see that his wife now of 20 years requires chalitza and takes off the shoe and spits at the other guy. That's going to be very strange. It's going to share the relationship that he's going to think maybe she was really married to this guy before. And it's going to be a very odd thing. And therefore, we don't want to, do that. And therefore, we don't make such a takana. What's the big deal? Okay, so the husband might be a little bit disturbed by the chalitza. Okay, he'll get over it. Give it a couple days, a couple weeks. He'll get over it. No big deal. The wife says, no, we don't want to have anything sort of ruining that shalom bias. We want there to be shalom. And even if it's going to be just for a day or two, that this mias might exist, that he'll feel disgusted for a day or two, even for a moment, we don't want to have that happen, and therefore they couldn't go ahead with such a takana. And therefore, either way, we see that there's not so clear whether or not asu or lo asu in the times of Beis Shammai. So then the Gemara says another brisa, Tashma. Tavani is an interesting word. It's Tavani is less than a taiva, even though there's a vase and a vav, it's switch. Tavani means I'm very much want. I'm waiting for what? Tavani mosai tavo tsaras habas liadi vasiana. I can't wait until the opportunity that his daughter's tsara comes his way. It's a strange want. People wanted to do mitzvah, but that means his brother would have to die without any children.
Doesn't say his own daughter, just the
stamtsaras habas. No, it's, I think they said it means I will marry, I think. Yeah.
Says,
yeah, I have him. I want to do the Yibam. Vasiyani Rashi says, I have him Osa Kedivei Beis Shammai. I can't wait, and that's he's saying, until his brother dies without children, leaves behind his daughter, who's the wife of his brother, and the co-wife. I want to marry the Tzar's boss. I want to perform the mitzvah. That was his desire. It wasn't a desire of Erva Chas V'Shalom. It was a desire of some type of a performance of the mitzvah of Yibam, a unique opportunity. So, and clearly that pasuk is like Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel would not allow a brother to marry to do Yibam with Tzar's Erva. So we see we pasuking like Beis Shammai, and it was also, it must be that they acted upon this. So Gemara says, Ema Vasienna. So very hard to the grammar what that means. Rashi tells us Vasienna, understanding we don't know grammar very well. Vasienna says, Rashi, four narrow lines down here, Vasienna Lashuk Kedivri Beis Hillel. What that means is, I can have her marry someone else. Not that I'm going to marry her, he wasn't saying that, but I can marry the Tzar's Erva to someone else without requiring Chalitza like Beis Hillel and not like Beis Shammai. That's what he was hoping for. V'hatavani kamar, doesn't say I want to marry her. Lafuke midi Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which what he's trying to accomplish was they wanted to say that no, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri required a chalitza. I wanted to not marry her. I wanted to have her marry someone else without a chalitza to paskin like Beis Hillel. So there is no right from this brisa either that Beis Shammai also. It's not talking about Beis Shammai. It's talking about psak is like Beis Hillel. Gemara now brings another raya toshma. That Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was married to his brother, whose name was Abba. Not the father, but the name was Abba. So Rabbi Gamliel's daughter is married to his brother. Umeis below Bani, Rabbi Gamliel's brother died without children. That means his sister was the Yavama now. Rather, his daughter was the Yavama. The Yavam, Rabbi Gamliel, as Sarasa. So of course, Rabbi Gamliel couldn't do Yivam with his own daughter, but he did Yivam with his daughter's Sarah, Saras Erva, Saras Bas, he did Yivam. So we see that he paskin like Beis Shammai. Mar says, wait a second. Does that make sense? So we see Asu, Beis Shammai Asu. The Tizbara, does this really make sense? Rabbi Gamliel mitamide Beis Shammai, who? Was he of the school of Beis Shammai? Certainly not. Rashi says he was Bnei Banav. He was of the great-grandchildren of Beis Hillel. He certainly would not pass like Beis Shammai. So how could he allow one to marry Tzaras Erva? So Ella, Shiny Bito Sher Rabbi Gamliel, the islandess who have a... It was a different situation. His daughter was an islandess, and we saw in the first submission, the Masechta, they were dealing with an islandess, so then that the whole marriage in Mekach Taos in the first place, and we don't acknowledge that as being a marriage, and therefore the Tzara, he would be allowed to do Yibam with the Tzara of an islandess. So Gemara says, wait a second, can you really suggest that Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an islandess, and that's why you can marry the Tzaras of the Bas? Hamid Katani Sefer, the Sefer of this Braisa states, Acherim Omrim, others say, Bitel Sherem Gamliel, islandess Hayasa. It's only the Sefer that suggests that the daughter was an islandess. That implies, Michlal, the Tanakama suffer, love islandess Hayasa. That the Tanakama felt that the daughter of Gamliel was not an islandess. I mean, in other words, if she wasn't an islandess, according to Resha, how was Rabbi Gamliel able to marry the Tzara's Bita if she wasn't an islandess? Mara says no. They both agree, both the Reish and the Seif agree, that Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an islandess, and that's why he was allowed to marry Tzara's Bas, because it was Tzara of an islandess. So what's the machlokas between Reish and Seif? And the Gemara says there are three nafkaminas between the Reish and Seif. The first suggestion is hikirba, ikamnau. Whether or not they recognized initially that she was an islandess or not. So look at Rashi to explain this nafkamina. Rashi says hikirba, flo hikirba, ikabanayu. Lo garsin elo. The word elo is not there, fine. The Tanakama dafka, flo hikirba, hu dahavi mekachtal. Only, according to Tanakama, only if the husband didn't recognize that she was an islandess, so he thought he was marrying a woman who was able to have children. Turns out she wasn't able to, she was an islandess. He was unaware that was a mekachtals, and therefore that marriage wasn't good, and in that situation, the tsara of the islandess would be permitted. Aval Hikirba, had the husband who married this daughter knew that she was an islandess from the start, then that would be considered a good marriage, and if it's a good marriage, then Tsarasa Aser, then the Tsar would be Aser to the Yavam. Ulachem, however, according to the Acherim, the Seifa, Afil Hikirba Mota, he felt that even if the husband initially knew that she was an islandess and went ahead with the marriage, you're still allowed to marry the Yavam, can marry the Tsaras islandess, because it's not about Hikirba or Hikirba, it's not about Mekachtalis, it's rather about the ability to have children and to continue the name. If a woman is not able to have children, she cannot come al Shema Achiva, so therefore she's pasul from Yibum, the Tsaras Erva is not pasul, because we don't view that initial islandess. It's a good marriage, but it's not Bechlal the Parsha of Yibum, and doesn't knock out Tsaras Erva. So that's the first nafkamina, whether they're hikar, but initially, whether that passes the Tsaras Erva, or it doesn't pass the Tsaras Erva. The second nafkamina the Gemara says is as follows. Ibai Seima Kanas Ulvasof Giresh. They got married, and in the end they got divorced. What does that mean? We look at Rashi as well. The Kanas Ulvasof Giresh Ikamanayu, the Tanakama Ayadesha Girish Achiva, Ezbito. So Rabbi Gamliel's brother was married to Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. And then the brother divorced the daughter. Koda Misa, before he died. And then the Abba, that's the name of the brother. Abba Pisha Kvar Kanas HaNechris, even though that Abba, the brother, had already married another woman, Hayutaris Zu Alzu Mutaris, even though they were married at the same time, both he was married to the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel and some other Nechris, but since he had divorced the daughter prior to his own death, and even though they're Tzaras together at some time, currently, Bishas Misa, he wasn't married to the Bas, Rabbi Gamliel, therefore the Tzaras Bas is permitted to Rabbi Gamliel. That's the Tanakama. Ho'vigirish is ha'er v'levasov, because he divorced her before he died. Ulachem, according to the second opinion, the Seifa, ho'vikanas is ha'nachris, since he had married the second wife, Kodem Gerishim, before the divorce, de'erva asura, she remains also forever, meaning that Tzaras Bas remains also forever, even if the brother divorced the daughter, the co-wife remains at Tsaras Erva forever, and he couldn't marry her. That would be the according. But Elabita Shem Gamil Islands Hayasa, but since she was an islandess, that would be a heter why Rabbi Gamil can marry the Tsaras Bas, because this was a unique situation. But in a regular case, the Tsaras Erva remains Aser forever, according to the Achim. So that's the second nafkamina between the Reish and the Seifa. And the third nafkamina says the Gemara, Ibai Seima Yesh Tanai Babia Ikabanai. There's a Tanai when it comes to Bia. What does that mean? Says Rashi here again. Yesh Tanai Babia. Hakonis Ishal Tanai, Shein Ala Mumim O Nidarm, V'nim Sashesh Ala. He marries a woman, and I'm marrying you only on condition that you have no blemishes, nothing else that Nidarm that are going to hold back our relationship. Latanakama, Mahani Tanai, V'havi Mekachtalos, that Tanai works, and if it turns out there's some blemish in her, that will actually undo the marriage. And there's a Tanai that was made, that Rabbi Gamliel's brother made a Tanai. I'll marry your daughter on condition that she has no blemishes, lo niskaim, and it wasn't fulfilled. Hilkach lav isho, she was not considered his wife. The Tsaras Mutaris, and that's why the Tsaras Bito was permitted, because there was a Mekach Talos here. It was based on the concept of a Tanai Babia. But the Acherim, says Rashi, Savri, de'ein Tanai Molabia, doesn't work if there's Bia. V'chemin de Ba'il, achuli achel. By having Bia, then in essence is your way of being mochel, any Tanai, any Mumim, and the Kedusha will be Chal, and the Tzart's Erva would be Asa. So that's a third nafkamina between Reish and Seifa, but it has nothing to do at all with Pasuk like Beishamai and also like Beishamai. So now the Gemara says, back inside the Gemara. Meisiva, Rabbi Misharsha, Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva, there's a Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva, Shalikit Esrog Be'echad B'Shvat. He was collecting Esrogim on the first day of Shvat. V'nogba Be'ez Isrun. He was practicing two Ma'aseh. So you have to understand how Ma'aseh works. So look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Be'echad B'Shvat. Shana Shnia HaNechnas L'Shlishish Ha'isa. It was the second year of the Shemitah cycle, going into the third year. V'nogba Shnei Isrun. He was practicing Ma'aseh on both ends. What does that mean? Ma'aseh Sheni kibes hilo, that the first and second year of the Shemitah cycle is chayv ma'aser sheni. The third year is chayv ma'aser ani. So ma'aser sheni, it was still the second year for Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel rather, Darminan Tesvav Bishrat. Tu Bishrat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos Vakati Shni Hayo. It was still the second year. It wasn't until Tu Bishrat till it switches to the third year. So you have to take Ma'aser Sheni like Beis Hillel. However, he also took Ma'aser Ani because this is really the third year beginning now, Kibbeis Shama, because he paskin Darminan Be'echa Bishrat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. And now by the first day of Shvat, it turned to the third year, which is Chayv and Ma'aser Ani. So he took two Ma'asers because the first day of Shvat, to be choshes for both Beis Shammai and for Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says again, Ma'aser Rabbi Akiva Shalikat Etzog Be'echa Bishrat, Nog Ba Beitz Isurin, Ba two Ma'asers, Echad Kidivei Beis Shammai, because it may have been the third year already, or Echad Kidivei Beis Hillel, because it may have been the second year still until the 15th of Shvat. So Shmami, now we see that Asu, that we pask, not only do we're Choshesh, but we actually act upon the Pesach of Beis Shammai. Now granted, this isn't referring to the Tzar's Ervo discussion we're talking about, but if we see that we pask like Beis Shammai, the Gabe Ma'aser, why not say we pask like him as well when it comes to Tzar's Ervo? So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Kiva wasn't paskin like Beis Shammai. What happened was, Rabbi Kiva Gamre, and he had a Mesorah, that is a Machlok is Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, whether Alf Shrat or Tu B'Shrat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. It's topic lay, he was unclear, V'liyada, I Beis Hillel Be'echa B'Shrat Amar, or B'Tu B'Shrat Amar. He paskin like Beis Hillel, but he forgot whether Beis Hillel said, which one was Rosh Hashanah? Did Beis Hillel say Tu B'Shrat is how we paskin? Or does he hold really Alf B'Shrat is Beis Hillel's opinion, and Beis Shammai's opinion was really Tu B'Shrat? And since he wasn't sure how Beis Hillel said, he had to be choshesh for both opinions of Beis Hillel, not because he was choshesh for Beis Shammai, but because he was unclear how Beis Hillel actually held, and for that reason. So then the Gemara brings another question, Meisiv, and another area of Halacha. Meisiv Marzutra, based on the Mishnah Masecha Sukkah. Meisa, the Yalda Kalasa Shal Shammai Hazakin, that Shammai Hazakin's daughter-in-law had given birth to a baby, and it was the Sukkah time. Ufiche says Hamazeva, he removed the roof on top of where the child was staying. Vesichach Agabe Mita B'Shur Katan, and he placed Schach on top of the roof to make a Schach so the child, the newborn, could have a Sukkah to sit in. So he was very makbid on chinuch at a very young age. But either way, Shema Mina becomes, at the end of the day, Shema Mina also, that Shammai, even though this was Shammai himself, but still, all the other cases were Tamidim of Shammai, but this was Shammai himself, that when he said what he said, he also paskin the base Asu. We see Asu here. So you could ask the question, well, maybe this was Shammai himself, Asu, but no one else was Asu. But the Gemara still thought that if Shammai paskin the Asu, all his followers would have said Asu as well. If Shammai just gave a certain understanding, but he himself didn't act upon it, others wouldn't act upon it either. So Gemara doesn't think that the fact that Shammai does the act doesn't mean others didn't do the Asu. Either way, Shammai na Asu, that Shammai we also paskin like Beis Shammai. So Hasim Gor says no. The whole concern of Shammai and Hillel was based on near Kishtei Torahs. It looks like they're two Torahs. Whenever you could find a reason why you could paskin some way that's not based on a psak, but for some other reason, that would be acceptable. Just like we saw the other day, that Erev Pesach not doing Mlacha, even though it might look like it's a machlokes, it doesn't look like a machlokes, because you could say, that guy's got no job today, he doesn't have any work today, that's why he's not working. Not because he paskins that this is Isra Mlacha, rather because the guy is lazy, or the guy couldn't find any work. Here as well, the fact that Shammai built the sukkah was not necessary because Asu. The reason why is, Gemara says, Hosma wrote, the person who sees Shammai building a schach on top says, Omer lafushi avir kavod. He's trying to get some more air in the air. It's, he opened up a window, opening up a skylight. That's why he's doing this. As long as there's always another reason to explain why a person's doing something, as long as it doesn't look like near Kishtei Torahs, we would accept the person to be machmir for the sheet of Beis Shammai. And this does not prove that overall we say Asu like Beis Shammai. So now the Gemara asks another question from an area of Tumah V'Tara by Mikvos. Meisiv Marzutra. Meisiv B'Shukas Yehu. And Rashi explains it's some type of a rock with a hole in it where they try connecting two different mikvahs together. And we know how mikvahs work. If you have a big mikvah that's 40 sa, and you want to connect it to a smaller mikvah which does not have 40 sa, as long as there's a some type of tube that's big enough to have the water pass, Hashaka, the smaller one would be acceptable because it connects to the larger one. So Gemara says, Ma'aser b'shukas Yehu. This was a type of rock. It's in a place called Yehu, it seems. Shahayisa b'Yushalayim was in the area of Yushalayim. V'hayisa nekuva l'mikvah. And this was a small area. It was like a small little tub, but it connected through a hole to a larger mikvah. That was a kosher mikvah. So the smaller shukas Yehu was good as well. V'chol tyros shayu b'Yushalayim nasin agaba. And all tyros were placed in the shukas Yehu because it was connected to a kosher mikvah. V'shalchu Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai sent a delegation. V'herchivu, they widened the tube. She Beis Shammai omrima at shetifchas beruba. in order for it to be a good tube, it has to be mostly wide. I don't know how wide, but in terms of shear, but rova must be open. If it's mostly closed, it's not good. Most of this shuk has to, the tube has to be open for it to be acceptable. If it's not, the Mishnah says, Eruv mikvos, to mix two mikvos together, kishfelferes hanod, beoveha, ubechalala, kishnei getzbos. That has to be, that two has to be as wide as two fingers, which is not very wide. And Choses the Makom has to go back to the initial place of two fingers wide. But Beishami argued, even though we paskin two fingers wide, this has to be rove open. So Beishami made it wider to kasher this mikvah. So we see either way, Shmami na asu. Not only did Beishami give a certain psak, but they are asu. They acted upon their psak as well. So just like it was the case here, seemingly they also asu by the world of Tsaros Erva too. Well, it says no. Hasam over there, one would have said if they saw Beishami working on this mikvah, they weren't saying they were working the mikvah to make a kasher. It was already kasher. What would an outsider say? Simply, Haroa Omer, Lafushe Maya, who they're trying to get more water to come in. That's all. That better flow. Not for halakhic reasons, but for logistical reasons, because if the water of the small mikvah goes down, you want to keep the flow going, so they made it wider. And whenever you could find some justification to say why he's doing it, other reasons, not because of a halakhic reason, but for some other reason, then we would allow them to be machmir for the sheet of Beishami. So now the Gemara says two lines down in Tezvav Amun Beis. Tashma. Dama Rebbe Elazar Bar Tzadok Kishayisi Lomei Torah Eitzel Rebbe Yochanan HaChurnim. I was learning by Rebbe Yochanan, Raisi, I saw Shehaya Ochel Pas Chareva B'melach B'shnei Butzuras. He was eating dry bread with a little bit of salt. It was a big famine. And Basi Vodati as Abba, I told my father that he was eating in a very simple way, very little food he had. And Amr Li, so my father said to me that Holech Lo Zesim, so go schlep some alvsim. V'lachti Lo, I gave it to him. So Ra'os, and he looked at them, Shehinlach, and he saw that they were wet. Now the concern with if they're wet is that we know that for food to be mekabel tuma has to come into contact with the seven mashkim, one of the seven mashkim. One of them is a shemen. So now if it was wet from oil, that means it's hochshel tuma, and now it's susceptible to tuma of someone whose tummy touched it. So he's choshish that maybe Naam Aretz was carrying it and made it tuma. So since it was wet, he wouldn't eat it. Amrili, ain ani ochel zesim, I'm not eating olives. So Basi Vodati is Abba, I told my father he wouldn't eat them. He refused to eat the olives. Amali, he says to me, Leich, go back to Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lo tell him, Chavis Nekuva Haisa, there was a hole in the bottom, Shatmua Shemarim, but the sediment had clogged the hole. So what's the issue here? The issue here is, we know that one of the criteria for the Sheva Mashkim to be Machshir food, you have to want it to get wet. If it rains on the food and I didn't want it, then it's not going to, Kiyutan, the pasuk says, you have to want it, based on that pasuk. You want the water to be there. The olive oil, I don't want the olive oil to be there. So how do you know whether I want the olive oil? When I carry olives, eventually, some of the pressure is going to force some of the olives to squirt out some oil. But if I put a hole in the bottom of this barrel, that indicates I don't want the olive oil. I want it to drip out. I don't want the beer. So that there was a hole in the bottom. The problem was because some of the olives got stuck there and the oil stayed in the barrel. That's why it got wet. But I didn't want it. And if I didn't want it, it wouldn't be a problem. So go tell them that the olive's not an issue there at all. So the Gemara says that El Shasatman Shemarim, the time the Mishnah says, Chavish Shel Zesim Megugalim. If you have a pitcher, a barrel of some sort of olives, and Beis Shami Omrim Ein Etzricha L'Nakiv, you don't have to put a hole in the bottom. Ubeis Hila Omrim Etzricha L'Nakiv, you have to put a hole in the bottom. And Modim, they both agree, Shim Nikva, if you do put a hole in the bottom, Visatimu, and you close it Shemarim, Shitar, it would be acceptable because the fact that there was a hole, even though the Maisa, they got wet, the fact that there was a hole indicates that you weren't interested in the olive oil being there. The Ava Pisha Talmud Shamahaya, even though that he was a Talmud, that Rabbi Yochanan was a Talmud of Shammai, and Shammai says you don't actually have to put a hole, even if there's no hole. He does not think the olive oil that was pressed out from the olives is considered kiyutan. Olive oil only if you did it intentionally would it be considered machshel tuma. But if it was unintentional, it was because you were transporting it, Shammai felt there's no issue. So the truth is, even without a hole, this would be acceptable. So why is Rabbi Yochanan so concerned here? And especially he's a Talmud of Shammai, you don't even need a hole, and it still wouldn't be machshel tuma. Talmud Shamahaya, all his halach lemaisa, he always acted like Beis Hillel. Even though he's a great Talmud of Vishamai, he always passed like Beis Hillel. So this is the interesting b'risa. So what do we get from this? So says the Gemara, Iyamis, if you're going to say Bishamai, this makes sense. Asu, if everybody else passing like Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yochanan was unique that he didn't pass like Beis Shammai. This was the Chiddush. Hani Rabusa, that's the Chiddush that everyone else passed like Beis Shammai, but he did not, even though he was one of the Talmidim, he would not pass like Beis Shammai. So that proves that Asu. But El, if you're going to tell me, Amos, lo asu, if you're going to tell me that nobody passing like Beis Shammai, no other Talmud passed like Beis Shammai, Mayer Busa, what's the chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan also didn't pass like Beis Shammai? No one passed like Beis Shammai. Elamai, we must conclude from this that the asu, the family, the students of Shammai passed like Beis Shammai, and Rabbi Yochanan Churani was unique in that he did not paskin like Beis Shammai. So Gemara goes on further, not satisfied with that raya. Gemara says further, Tashma. Shalu Esher Yeshua the following question. Tzaras Habas Mahu. What's the status of the Tzaras Habas? So we have a daughter married to a brother, and there's a co-wife. The brother dies. Can that brother, can he marry Tzaras Habas? That's the question we've been talking about. So Amar Lehem Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. This is Machlokas, a well-known Machlokas that's recorded in the Mishnah. I don't have to tell you about this. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel have a Machlokas. So they pushed him further. How do we pass him? Amar lem, mipnei ma'atem machnisin rashai, bein shnei harim and gedolim. Why are you placing my head between two great mountains, bein shnei machlokas and two machlokas and gedolos, between two incredible debates, bein Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, between these two great tzaddikim? I don't want to get involved in such a machlokas. Misyari ani, I'm scared. Shema yarutzi gilgalti. If I pass him Beis Hillel, I'm scared of Beis Shammai, they're going to attack me. Aval ani mei lechem, I'm going to tell you the following testimony. Al shei mishpachos gedolos, there are two great families, Shehayu B'Yushalayim, that lived in Yushalayim, Mishpachas Beis Tzivum, Mi Ben Achmai, that was the name of their family, they came from the lineage of Ben Achmai, and Mishpachas Beis Kupai, another family name, Mi Ben Mukoshish, they came from that family. So Shem B'nei Tzaros, they were actually products of a Tzaros Bas, and what happened with them? Umehem, Kwanim Gedolim, Vishim, they produced Kwanim Gedolim from these families, Vishim Shuagabe Mizbech, they served in the Beis HaMikdash. So we see, so you can take what you want from that. I'm just testifying what I know. I'm not giving a psak, but this is certainly part of the history of Yerushalayim. So that was clear that the Tzaras Bas would be permitted, it sounds like. So without having requiring chalitza. Now, no need for chalitza. I think Rashi adds in no chalitza here, like Beis Hillel. So Gemara says, now, Iyamis Bishamai, if it makes sense that Asu, if that they Beis Shammai acted upon the psak as well, Hainu to come and Misyarani, that's why he'd be scared. Meaning, if no one passed on Beis Shammai, what's he scared of? No one ever passed on the way. It must be that people actually passed on Asu like Beis Shammai. And if I tell you that that's actually wrong, we hold like Beis Hillel, I'm saying all those previous generations are all now going to be Mamzerim. I'm scared. That's why he was scared. But Ela Iyamis, if you're going to say Lo Asu, am I Kamar Misyarani? Why is he so scared then? No one ever married based on Beis Shammai's psak here. What's the chashash? V'ni namid asu, and even if they asu, even if they acted upon this, my misyar ani, what would he be scared of? Ha amar b'shuva ein mamas ela mechayim mises bezdin. Only chayim mises bezdin, not kares, but only chayim mises bezdin would it generate an iser of mamzer. So Gemara says you're right. Even though it wouldn't be a mamzer, ni namid the mamzer lahavi. Pogum Havu, it would still be considered Pogum Havu. Right, it would be a chal, exactly, still be Pogum. Me kavel chomer me almano. What's a kavel chomer me almano? Ma almano shein isura noeg bechol, yet bena Pogum. Zu shi isura shal bechol, v'chule. Meaning almano, the isura almano is only to marry a Kohen Gadol. And even if she does marry a Kohen Gadol, her child is going to be a chalo. So this, which is ushered to everybody, these Chayim Mises Bezim, who's ushered to everybody, the Chalutz, who's ushered to everybody, were really the Tzar's Erev, who's ushered to everybody, so certainly the child will be chalo as well. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, actually Rashi doesn't say much here, but just look at Rashi, Ma'almana, Ma'almana l'koin gadol, she'en isura shava b'chol b'na pagam, l'kuna, her child is a chalo, d'chsev lo yichal azaro, zu she'isura shava b'yisraelim kibakwanim, that the Tzar's Erev is ushered to even the Yisraelim, eino din she'b'na pagam, certainly a child will be a chalo as well. So even though it won't be a mamzer, it will still produce a chalo. So for that reason, he was very scared to go ahead and say this. So that's what happened. So Gemara then says, that kabay minei tzaras. Now the Gemara wants to understand the question and answer with Rabbi Yeshua. The initial question he asked was about the tzaras atma, the tzaras bino. Can the brother marry the tzaras bita? But Rabbi Yeshua's answer was kapashile bnei tzaras. He wanted to tell you about the children of these families that they're mamzerim or not mamzerim. They were bnei kohen gadol. So he wasn't answering the question properly. They were talking about the tzara itself, and he answered about the children of the tzaras. And the Gemara says no tarti kabay minei. There are two questions that they had asked him. Tzaras mai, what would the status be? Can one marry the tzaras bito with chalitza or without chalitza? That's question one. Vim tim silma tzaras ke beis hillel. If you pass like tzaras the beis hillel, that tzaras erva is moti l'shuk. B'nei tzaras the beis hillel le beis shamai mahu. What would the din be of a b'nei tzara in the world of beis hillel that doesn't require yim chalitza? What would beis shamai say about those children? Because beis shamai requires a chalitza first before she goes to the shuk. So Gemara says, who cares? We don't care what beis shamai holds. We don't pass the Beis Shammai. Who cares? What would Beis Shammai think about the Taurus of Beis Hillel? We don't think about Beis Shammai. He's not on the radar at all. But I'll tell you the nafkamina. The nafkamina is, even though by Taurus Bito, we don't care what Beis Shammai would say about Beis Hillel's Taurus, but we want to know, whatever he does say, there would have a nafkamina to us in the world of the Mai nafkamina, the Mifshei Vlad Machse Grushaso, the Beis Hillel. That into the answer, Machse Grushaso. In other words, Beis Hillel Shammai holds that when a Tsaras Yava, a Tsaras Erva, goes and gets married Lashuk, Beis Hillel, that's allowed. She's completely mutter. Beis Shammai requires Chalitza first. And she doesn't do Chalitza, she's called a Lav. And she goes ahead and gets married to someone for the Shuk, she violated a Lav. So whatever that child is, that status is to Beis Shammai, that's going to tell us what would be for our case of Beis Hillel for Machse Grushaso. A whole other case here, but Machse Grushaso also deals with a Lav. Look at Rashi to explain the case here. Rashi says that Lemifsha Vlad Machse Grushaso. Mishanisis L'Acher. If a woman gets divorced, she marries someone else, and then she goes back to the initial husband, that's the Isser Machse Grushaso, like we saw a few days ago. And now what would happen if she gets remarried to that initial husband, and then Yalda La Bas, they have a daughter in the second marriage. Osa Bas, that daughter, Mahi L'Kohanim L'Beis Hillel. What would Beis Hillel say? Can she get married to other Kohanim? Mi Beis Shammai, Mi B'nei Tzaros, from Beis Shammai's Psak L'Gabe B'nei Tzaros, because he thinks that's a love, if there's no Chalitza done, that Nishma L'Beis Hillel, that will teach us what Beis Hillel will hold by Machse Grushaso, they're congruent. Bibas Machse Grushaso, Tavi Nami Chayvi Lavin. So whatever Beis Shammai holds L'Gabe B'nei Tzaros, even though for us, there's no nafkamina legabe b'nei taros, but it will tell us what Beis Hillel would hold by a vlad machse grushaso. That's the nafkamina. So Gemara says back inside now, again, mao lemai nafkamina, lemifshe vlad machse grushaso le Beis Hillel. Mi kamrin, do we say kal v'chomer, ma almana le kohen gadol, shein isura shem v'chol, b'na pagum. If an almana marries a kohen gadol, it's a very unique issue that only applies to a kohen gadol, but if she does, the children will be pagum, will be chalalim. Zu, she yisura sheva b'chol. This woman who needs chalitza, according to Beis Shammai, or the vlad of the machzor grushaso, which is a lav, to everyone, so ain't no din, she b'na pagum. Certainly, the child should also be pagum, should be a chalal to a kohen. Odomer, perhaps we should say, iklam ifrach, you could ask a different question. Ma la almana, she atma mischaleles. No, almana is more of a chumra. Granted, it's only usher to a kohen gadol, but if Amana does get married to a kohen gadol, she herself becomes a chalala, and she cannot marry another kohen. As opposed to Machse Grushaso, who marries the initial husband, she might be an iser, but she does not become a chalala. She does not get passed to a kohen afterwards if she wants to get. Rather, I shouldn't say that. She already is usher because she's a grusha, but there's no additional iser that's chal. I mean, the Almana, when the Almana marries a kohen gadol, that kiddushin creates a current chalala, a new chalala on her. A grusha is already halal beforehand. There's no new psul that gets added on when she remarries her old husband, which she's also to. So maybe in that case, it should not produce a pagum halal from her children. So again, odil me'ikel mifrach mal almana she asma mischalalas, as opposed to machshir grusha. So is kvar halas. She already is mechula beforehand. So Amalu, what was the answer? So Taurus misyari ani. He said, I'm scared to tell you about Taurus. Rashi said before you turn the page here, Taurus misyari ani, lo mer halacha kederimi. I'm scared to say who we paskin like. Dimashu lei le Taurus de Beis Shammai b'nei chayve krisis, because I'm in essence going to tell you that we paskin like Beis Hillel, all the Beis Shammai families who married the Taurus Yavam to the Yavam himself, the Taurus Erva, the Yavam, that's actually an Erva according to Beis Hillel. I don't want to tell you that they're all chayve krisis and possibly mamzerim. I'm scared of that. And the Gabi, the second question, the B'nai Taurus that you asked me, Ani Melech, I'm going to tell you what I saw, that the children of Taurus are actually, like Beis Hillel, actually acceptable, that they became Kohanim Gadolim, and they don't become Pagum. That's how we passed, and that's how we answered this particular question. Let's quickly recap what we did today. We started talking about whether or not Asu or Lo Asu, we said the suggestion they wanted to make a Takana that every Tsaras Erva should do Chalitza, this way you could cover your bases, and the Gemara said we don't accept that because it's going to look bad to all the previous marriages that took place here to ruin that, and it's going to have a certain mias of a current marriage, if they require Chalitza, it's going to be mias, and we say, Darcheh, Darchenom, V'chol Nisivesh Shalom. And then the Gemara suggests, okay, Rabbi Tarfon wanted to marry his boss, Tsaras Abbas, so he didn't want to marry her, he wanted to have her marry someone else to the Shuk without requiring Chalitza. Then we suggested the case of the Bito Rabbi Gamliel, his brother, and his daughter was an islandess, two different opinions in the Gemara and the Brisa, three nafkaminas between the Resha and the Seifa. Then we discussed Rabbi Kiva in another area, the Paschal like Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, the Gabe Shei Yisurim of Al Shvat and Tubishvat. And Gemara says, not because he Paschal like Beis Shammai, but rather because he wasn't sure what Beis Hillel's Psak was. Then we spoke of the case of the Sukkah, of Shammai building a Schach over the child, that we Paschal like Beis Shammai. No, because people will say that you simply bring some Avir air into the child's room, but not because he passed like Beis Shammai. Then the case of the Shukas Yehu about the two of mikvahs that Beis Shammai widened it. We see we pass on Beis Shammai. Now people would say not because he passed on Beis Shammai, rather because they're trying to get more water, more flow into the mikvah, not because of certain psak. And then we discussed about Rabbi Yochanan Hacharani, who wouldn't eat from the olives if they were wet, even though Beis Shammai himself felt that wouldn't render them hochsher. In the end of the day, he was choshish for the sheet of the Beis Hillel. He always pounded the Beis Hillel. So we see that everyone else was osu, like Beis Shammai. He himself, actually, even though he was a Talmud of a Shammai, he paskin like Beis Hillel. Then we have the case of the Tzar's boss and that whole conversation with Beshua, back and forth, that he wouldn't be willing to give a psak because he was scared to give a psak like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai. But that whole back and forth with Beis Shammai and the two families that became Kohanim Gedolim. Okay, we'll stop here, and everyone have a wonderful day.
We're talking about